You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to talk about greater access to heritage for blind and partially sighted people now here on RNIB Connect Radio, as we have an update on the Vocalise Describing Heritage Co-Creating Access project, supported by the National Lottery's Heritage Fund, with the input of blind and partially sighted people from a number of Thomas Pocklington Trust sight loss councils. The project will explore through the co-creation of audio descriptions in 10 heritage hubs across the country ways of improving access in museums, galleries and heritage sites for visually impaired people. I'm delighted to say that Lindsay Bywood, Vocalise Describing Heritage Project Manager, joins me now to give us a bit of an update on how the project has been going, as now all of the 10 museum hubs have been confirmed. Hello Lindsay, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello Toby, thank you so much for having me.
It's great news that now all of the 10 museum hubs have been confirmed. And before we give a bit of a rundown of the hubs and where they are, Lindsay, would you remind me about what the Describing Heritage Project is all about, as it has blind and partially sighted people very much at the heart of the project?
Absolutely, thank you. So the basis and the impetus for the project was the idea that although blind and visually impaired people will use and access audio description, it's quite rare that they are involved in its creation. So the project is aiming to train and embed skills in the museums that take part to enable them to run co-creation groups and to involve their local networks of blind and visually impaired people in the creation of audio description, and also in wider access issues and perhaps in advising on access and working together to make the museums better for everybody.
Well, let's now talk about the 10 museum hubs that have just been confirmed, as there is quite a range of type and size of museum, from a couple of large national museums to maybe some smaller local ones. Lindsay, would you be able to give me a rundown of the 10 museum hubs, where they are, and am I right in thinking that they will be a bit of an anchor and a central point for nearby local museums to get involved in the project too?
That's absolutely right. Yes. So the idea is that the hub museum is where we have the training, and then there will be museum professionals from 5 or 6 other local museums and heritage sites or institutions that will come to the training and also form part of those groups that will do the co-creation and also gain those skills, and then hopefully go back to their home institutions to then carry this forward. So it's a sort of flower type thing where the hubs sort of spread out, and hopefully the knowledge and the expertise and the enthusiasm then is spread wider. So we're hoping to reach around 60 institutions in total. So the hub museums, in order of distance from London, starting from the furthest, we've got the National Railway Museum in York, which is part of the Science Museum Group. We've got Torquay Museum. We have Hull Museums and Gallery. We have Barnsley Museums. We have Stoke Museums, specifically the Gladstone Pottery Museum. We have Holborn Museum in Bath, the Food Museum in Stowmarket, the Dillaware Pavilion in Bexhill, the historic dockyard in Chatham, and finishing in the capital at the National Gallery. So as you said, a very wide spread of large institutions, smaller institutions, arts and heritage. In the Dillaware, we've got a historic building which doesn't actually have a collection. So we'll be thinking about describing the spaces there, probably quite similar as well in the Gladstone Pottery Museum, which is more industrial and it's about the process and about the different spaces where pottery was created. So I'm really excited because there's really going to be a massive variation of small and large and, yeah, all sorts of different aspects of heritage in England.
And it's great that there will be sort of collaboration between the sort of hub museums and all those smaller museums that will be part of that hub. And I suppose many of them are probably already doing some form of access, but this is a great way to sort of improve on that and share ideas and share sort of, I suppose, what can be done to make museums, heritage sites and galleries accessible to blind and partially sighted people.
Absolutely. And what we find quite often is that institutions really want to do more for for the blind and visually impaired visitors, but they either don't have the resources or they just really don't know where to start. So it's really nice when we can work together with people. And obviously, you know, we've got the lottery funding, and thanks to the lottery players for that. So, you know, it's quite a low resource impact for all the participating museums and heritage sites. So we can sort of come in and support them, because definitely the enthusiasm and the will is there. It's just that they need some resource help and to know where to start, really. And that's what we're doing.
I believe the first Museum Hub workshops will be starting sort of March time. Do tell me a bit about how the workshops are going to work and how blind and partially sighted people will be, I suppose, taking part and getting fully involved in the workshops.
You're right. The first workshops are actually quite soon, in about 6 weeks, and then they'll run right through probably until about July, depending on the needs of each individual institution and obviously the availability of our trainers. So they're two-day workshops. Day one will be the museum professionals, and that will be a combination of visual awareness training, sort of access training, thinking with the museums themselves about their collections and about the barriers to access that they have, mainly in their collections, but also possibly in their physical spaces as well. There's a variety of sort of levels of knowledge. So you know, some people will already have some knowledge about the access barriers that are present, and some people will need our help in identifying them. And then on day two, it'll be the real work of co-creation. So on day two, that's when the blind and visually impaired co-creators will be invited to come. And there will be workshops and discussions around the different collection objects that the museums would like to describe, but also lots of support in terms of how to co-create and how to work with objects and how to work with blind and visually impaired people. So there's very much a sort of flow of knowledge, really, the blind and visually impaired co-creators coming with their lived experience and expertise and working together with the museum professionals to produce audio description and to embed those skills.
And of course, the Describing Heritage project is all about the co-creation of up to, I think, 120 audio descriptions of objects and artworks, along with making spaces more accessible for everyone. How will these, I suppose, objects and artworks be chosen for the descriptions? And will blind or partially sighted people get involved in the creation of the descriptions too?
That's a really good question, and it's a long and sort of complicated answer, but the collection objects will mostly be chosen by the institutions, and it will be objects that they themselves want to increase the access to. So, you know, objects or artworks or spaces or, you know, heritage places that they feel that they would benefit from a description. So it could be something that is very discreet. So it could be a sort of collection of objects that are related, but it could also be sort of the major things in the collection or the highlights. But it could also be something like objects that are of interest because they have some kind of relevance to disability history. So we're going to leave the institutions themselves to decide where they would like to focus. You're right in that we have a very ambitious target of 120 new audio descriptions, and hopefully we'll be able to meet that. And if hubs want some help with choosing, we're happy to do that. But I think a lot will also depend on what sorts of objects can be touched, because obviously we want to prioritise objects that can be handled by the co-creators, and also what sorts of objects can be moved. Because if the museums are coming to the hub, you know, they have to be objects that can be transported in some way. And in terms of the descriptions themselves, it's very much co-creation. So what we're hoping, and it will depend a lot on sort of time and resources during this two-day training, but we're very much hoping that there will be a session in the training where the blind and visually impaired co-creators will have input into the editing of the description. So there'll be a sort of transcript generated from the original discovery sort of session where everybody talks and discusses about their subjective experiences of the artifacts. And then from that, then we'll have a conversation about, okay, so, you know, what needs to be in the description for it to be engaging and for it to be useful, and what sort of order. So we had a very long discussion recently with our trainers about how much factual information would we like to have in the descriptions. And that will be something that we'll be talking to the co-creators about. So, you know, for example, do you want to know immediately who the sculptor is, or would you rather sort of hear about, you know, what it feels like and what it smells like and what it reminds you of before you hear about who the sculptor is, for example?
That's great that blind and partially sighted people are obviously very much at the heart of the whole project and the creation of the audio descriptions. And of course, Lindsay, the Describing Heritage project is all about making heritage more accessible for blind and partially sighted people. But the work of the project and the creation of the descriptions will also help to make museums, I suppose, more accessible to everyone, won't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, there's been quite a lot of research done that shows that although it's sort of believed that a sighted person can walk into a museum or gallery and immediately engage and, you know, have a positive experience, that's actually not true for everybody. So the descriptions that we generate will be useful for a whole range of people, including sighted people, to think about how to engage and how to experience a space or an object or an artifact. So that's what we're hoping.
Of course, the project is a collaborative project between Vocalise, the museums, and the local Thomas Pocklington Trust Sight Loss Councils too. But I wondered if there were other blind and partially sighted people who might like to get involved in the project, or maybe just suggest a local museum that could be part of one of the hubs. Are you also interested in other blind and partially sighted people making suggestions and taking part in the project?
Absolutely, yes. I would encourage anyone listening, if they're interested, and certainly if they're local to one of the hubs, to get in touch, as you say, either to recommend a museum that might be interested, or if they themselves or their group are interested in taking part, please do get in touch. We do have fantastic support from the Sight Loss Councils through the Thomas Pocklington Trust, but the Sight Loss Councils are not everywhere in the UK, and they're not everywhere where we are doing our training. And also, it's really nice to have more networks for the museums to sort of to tap into. And again, lots of museums are really keen to work with blind and visually impaired people, but just don't know how to get in touch with them. So if we can facilitate those connections so that more blind and visually impaired people are more embedded in the museum, that will be a really good outcome of the project. So yes, absolutely, we would love to hear from anybody who's interested in taking part or who has ideas for us.
So finally, Lindsay, if people would like to follow the progress of the Describing Heritage project and maybe get involved, to where would be the best place for them to go to find out more and make contact with Vocalise?
So find out more. We are quite active on LinkedIn. So the Vocalise, the company, hosts about Describing Heritage on LinkedIn. We're quite active on Instagram. There will be updates also on the Vocalise website. We do have a Vocalise newsletter that people can subscribe to, and there is a Describing Heritage update in every issue of our newsletter. But specifically, if none of those is available to a particular person, they're absolutely welcome to get in touch with me directly. And specifically, if you have recommendations for spoke museums or if you'd like to get involved, you can email me. So my email address is Lindsay, Lindsay, at vocalise.co.uk. And Vocalise is Vocalees. And you also completely welcome to SMS me or WhatsApp me or call me. So my number is 07967 190339.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lindsay, for an update on the very exciting Vocalise Describing Heritage project. And of course, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we will be following the progress of the project too.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd love to come back and let you know how it's going in a few months.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.